to hear me sing a solo. A cappella, too, no less. Alrighty. Well, we are taking our Bibles. I don't know if I have a particular passage for you to turn to necessarily as of yet. We're going to kind of look all over the scriptures here tonight. We're in our money series, and we've looked at the problems of money. We've looked at what God wants to warn us against. The biggest thing that God's told us about is covetousness and living for money in this age. And then we saw how we can trust in money and that all those other aspects too. So there's the sins of money. We've dealt with that. And then we've kind of looked at the positive side. What should we do with our money? And predominantly, over and above any other topic in terms of what the emphasis of Scripture is, we ought to freely give to God's to the needs that God has around us. That is, if we don't cling to our possessions and we're willing to give to meet those needs, it's showing that we're in the right place in terms of our finances. But there's some other things in terms of money. And so what we're going to look at here this evening is called the heritage principle. And so there's an aspect of asking the question, will you leave a heritage for your children? At the retreat, one of the illustrations that the speaker gave was this missionary was going down to one of these island nations, and I forget exactly which one it was, but they had six totes, and four of those totes arrived, and one of those totes, there was a disassembled rocking chair that had been passed down from generation to generation from the Revolutionary War. Can't believe, and that tote didn't arrive. And thankfully, it did arrive later, and then the two totes finally made it up to where they were trying to get to, and that made a big difference in terms for that family and that aspect. And so he used the illustration off that. But it's kind of interesting. I don't think I have anything of note in terms of family heirlooms. I think the biggest thing that I would have is I know that my dad received from his grandpa an old set of golf clubs. And they've got wooden heads, and it's going to be old mashy. And so I imagine that we'll inherit that at some point. I don't know if it's of any value or not, but it's something. I was going to ask the question, does anyone here have any heirlooms or family heirlooms of that something that you're passing down from generation? If there's anything that would stand out, someone would be like, hey, I could share something about anybody getting something from their grandparents? Oh, yes. Okay. Is that a family Bible? A family Bible. Okay, that's really neat. So receiving from a preacher or grandfather, passing it down, something you intend to pass on to the next generation, that's really neat. Someone else? Thought there's, yes? My husband is adopted family, friends, family, and his aunt, who's Chinese, and she's also Chinese, and she's also Chinese, and she's also yeah, that's neat, and you'll pass that on. So it's good, good. Yes. Wow. Wow, that's really neat. Do you know when that time frame of when that was written? 1800s. Wow, that's amazing. Good. Yeah, these are very interesting. I figured there'd be some interesting things here. Anybody else want to add to that? It's good. Okay. Yes, sir. Wow. Oh, wow. That's neat. Is that World War II? Where is that? Okay. Okay. Oh, wow. Interesting. Wow, that really is fascinating. Cool. Very neat. All right. Yeah, these are interesting stories and things that are attached to it. And you think about, you know, what am I going to pass on? Is this something that the Lord wants me to do? And I think there's an aspect when we look at the scriptures, if you were to look at this word in the Old Testament, inheritance, it occurs over 200 times in our Bible. And so if you're looking at themes and words that are of significance and importance, this is not an insignificant theme that God has for us. And so if we let's think a little bit, excuse me, I'm losing my voice here, a little bit of a, so I have to make this thing short. Or it's going to really struggle to get through tonight. I've got so much to say and I barely say it. If you think about what an inheritance is, it really is a connection in a relationship. You think about the prodigal son and he says, I want my inheritance now, Dad. It's basically saying, hey, let's give me what I'm expecting of you and I'm ready to be gone. I'm ready for the connection between our lives to be severed. That really was the aspect. That's the insult level that was in that story, that parable that he told us. When Rachel and Leah talk to Jacob, and Jacob says, hey, God's calling me to go back to Israel. And they say, their answer is there any portion or inheritance for us in our father's house? They're saying, hey, our father's turned his back upon us. He's not going to give us any inheritance. We have no connection. Thank you very much. That would be helpful. Thank you. And so that's an interesting aspect. It's a connection between generations. And it's something that spans multiple generations and connects you with your fathers and makes you conscious of your children and your children's children. This is a good concept for us to think about. It's interesting when Jacob told Joseph, he says that the children that you have, they shall be called after the name of their brethren in their inheritance in Genesis 48:6. There's this aspect he was saying, they're going to inherit just like your other brothers. And so they were raised up in terms of status based on the inheritance that they received. And so when we think about inheritance, we got to understand that it forms a connection. But we also need to know that it forms a specific kind of connection. It is a family connection. Ezekiel 46:16-17 tells us, thus saith the Lord, if the prince give a gift unto any of his sons, the inheritance thereof shall be his sons. It shall be their possession by inheritance. It means if he passes it down to his children, it's theirs. But there's a distinction that he makes in the next verse, in verse 17. But if he give a gift of his inheritance to one of his servants, then it shall be his to the year of liberty, or the jubilee. After it shall return to the prince, but his inheritance shall be his sons for them. So within the confines of this, there is an understanding in the Old Testament that when you give an inheritance, you give that to your children. There's a special connection that takes place between fathers and sons and daughters. And he says part of what that connection consists of is an inheritance passed down from generation to generation. And so when we think about it, inheritance is passing something of value to the next generation. Numbers 27 talks about the story of Zelophehad. And the daughters, he died, he had no sons, and they ask and say, can we have right to an inheritance, a possession among our father's brethren? And so there's an aspect of which they say, well, this we don't it wasn't so much that they wanted some possession. Their heartbeat behind that was, we want to carry on the name of our Father. We don't want his name to be blotted out in the earth. And there is something about that when you think about receiving an inheritance and you've received something from someone in the past. It adds weight and significance beyond yourself. I've received something that connects me with my grandfather and my grandmother and my parents, and they are of greater and significance importance to than me. I give them honor, and yet what am I going to do with what I've inherited? I show value to them by passing that inheritance to my children. And as we're going to see, they ought to pass that on to their children. In fact, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and it's interesting to look back in the Old Testament. Those are illustrations that fills us out. But when we come to the New Testament, I'm always cued in on that because that's where the New Testament interprets the Old, gives us understanding. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 12 in verse 14, he says, "Behold, the third time I'm ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours, but you." And he makes this statement, this principle, "For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children." You know, it is right and good for children to expect an inheritance, that something of value is going to be passed down to them. There's an aspect, this is not saying that children shouldn't take care of their parents in their older age, but he's just saying it's the responsibility of parents to use what God has given to us to create value, to of something of value to pass on to them. We see this in throughout the Old Testament. David is talking to the children of Israel, and he calls them to obey in 1 Chronicles 28:8. He says, "Now therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of the Lord, and the audience of our God, keep and seek for all the commandments of the Lord your God, that you may possess this good land and leave it for inheritance for your children after you forever." He said, there's something that God wants you to do. And I want you to be obedient to me. I want you to live upon this land so that you can take care of it, so that you can leave it as an inheritance. Ezra says something very similar. "Now therefore, give not your daughters unto their sons, neither take their daughters unto your sons, nor seek their peace or their wealth forever." This is talking about the Gentiles. "That ye may be strong and eat the good of the land and leave it for an inheritance to your children forever." That was part of the aspect of their sin and the exile of that sin. They lost the inheritance of God. So when we look at the land and that aspect of the inheritance, what does an inheritance require from us? The Bible says, and I guess I put this verse on the screen, it says Proverbs 13:22, "A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just." So when we talk about the contrast of Proverbs, helps us understand what he's talking about. When he says a good man, he's talking about the contrast of a sinner. A sinner, God makes sure that their wealth comes to naught. Not necessarily doesn't mean that, you know, we might see some millionaire and billionaire, but oftentimes we know that, you know, they pass on their money. And, you know, Ecclesiastes talks about this aspect of what's the point of saving a bunch of money and then passing it down to a fool. And I just read on somewhere about this billionaire entrepreneur, and he said he's leaving none of it to his son. And part of it was because his son was a drug addict, and I mean, he was someone that money would absolutely destroy him. And he said, I can't, you know, until if he's worthy of money, he'll make his own. That's what he said. And there's an aspect, a little bit of truth to that, but it is kind of an aspect. It's a shame to have someone that you can't even trust what you have of value to someone else. You know what this requires of us? It really does require financial planning. It means that you have to have a sight that looks beyond the immediate. Now, this helps us because what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to take our present resources and use it for eternity. But part of that is discipline that God wants to work in us where we say, hey, I've got this money or I've got this of value. Great, I can just spend it up on myself so that when I die, I leave nothing of value to my children. Doesn't mean necessarily that the person who dies poor is a horrible sinner in that aspect. That's not what God's talking about. But there is an aspect, what he's saying is, a good man is going to work hard. And he's going to care about his children. And he's going to have the forethought and the planning that says, I'm not just doing this for myself. I'm not living just so I can have a good retirement. I want to create some wealth that I can pass on. Doesn't mean I live for that. That becomes my, we're going to see that wealth in terms of there's more to inheritance than just money. We'll see that in just a moment. But I think there is something here that just, we can't just say, money doesn't matter. I can't live a certain lifestyle that spends everything that I receive. Because what does that do? That means I am not thinking, planning, preparing for the next generation. We ought to save. And we ought not just save for ourselves. We ought to save for our children. And it's not so that they can blow all that money upon themselves, but so that they can save to pass it on. And I think that's part of the idea that says a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. It's not so much necessarily that says, man, I got to set up my children so they're set for life, and then I got to set up my grandchildren. I don't think that's necessarily what God's, that's a pretty wealthy person that can do that kind of thing. But there is a heart when you, as a grandparent, I'm not there, but I do know that my grandparent wanted to do something, not only for his kids, and he didn't have many kids, just two daughters, but he wanted to do something for us eight grandkids too. And that was a good heart. That's a godly heart in that aspect. But I think there's an aspect to which you leave something in your inheritance to your children and you've taught them to value what you are giving to them so that they pass it to their children. And it continues on, just like the Word of God, where he says, I want you to teach it to their children so that they will teach it to their children so that the name of the Lord never perishes from the earth. You know, and it takes wisdom to do this. Ecclesiastes 7, 11 and 12 says, wisdom is good with an inheritance, for by it there is profit to them that see the sun. For wisdom is a defense and money is a defense. But the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom giveth life to them that have it. There's an aspect of you've got to recognize what's of value. We watched on Wednesday night this little spoof thing that's a thing about they invested for their child when their granddad passed away. They invested in a Beanie Baby at the height of the Beanie Baby craze. And they bought into something that was worthless when it was worth it, when it cost a lot of money to get it, and then later, now no one wants anything about it, and they completely invested in the wrong way. It takes value. I've only bought gold one time in my life, but I bought it at the peak. It's actually, gold's worth more than I spend on it now, but I didn't know. You know, it was really rising. You're like, okay, all right, well, let's invest in that. And he goes, but that wasn't the purpose. We just wanted to diversify our investments and things like that. So have something here, have something there. But it is funny. You take some wisdom. You say, well, I'm going to invest. You better figure some things out. You better get some wisdom in regards to that. So you've got to recognize what's of value, what's worth passing down to your children. I think it's very fascinating. In the English culture, they would plant a grove of walnuts because a walnut grove took a long, long time to grow. And it really wasn't for their children, it was for their grandchildren. And by the time of two generations had passed, that walnut grove had grown really big. And their grandchildren would be able to cut it down and take the money that they had and to be able to make a good profit. There was foresight, there was wisdom. You were not just living for yourself. You're living for the future generations. And that includes more than just money, folks. But it certainly does include money and how we use it. It's interesting that Deuteronomy chapter 15, 4 says, "For the Lord shall greatly bless thee in the land which the Lord thy giveth thee, for an inheritance to possess it." When you think about inheritance, you start to realize that God is blessing me not just for myself. God is blessing me so that I can bless others. That's exactly how Solomon understood. That's what David understood. Why is God prospering me at every hand? It's because of other people that God wants. And that's how we have to see God working in our finances. And when God blesses us, this is not just for me. This is to be used for others. You know, an inheritance has to be protected. You think about a family heirloom, or you think about something that's of value, and you possess that for years, and then you pass it on. And you've got to make sure that it doesn't get damaged and spoiled. Deuteronomy 21, 23 talks about this. It talks about the punishment that is supposed to be laid out. And I'll just read the whole verse for you to get the context. It says, "His body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day, for he that is hanged is cursed of God." Now here's the part that it really applies to us. "That the land be not defiled." The land could be defiled because you're allowing the curse and the deadness of God in terms of the curse attached to the dead. So the dead hanging out in terms of being exposed. And that brings a defilement upon the land. Why is that so important? He says, "Because which the Lord thy God giveth thee for inheritance." Don't let your inheritance be defiled. You know, it's interesting. The Bible says a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. You know, you can give someone a good name, passing on a reputation, a character, a life, and yet you can defile that. It's very easy for those things to take place, and the flies spoil the ointment. In the scripture, it was the land that was given for inheritance. God says, "I want you to pass down from generation to generation this property." So it's interesting that it wasn't necessarily material wealth. It was the land that was the inheritance. And this land represented rest for them. Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 9 says, "For ye are not as yet come to the rest and to the inheritance which the Lord your God giveth you." So there is an aspect to which the land would be, they would be able to settle down and they would say, "Hey, this is our land. This is given to us, and we better take good care of it. We better cultivate it. We better use it, because this is for our children." And they would pass that down from generation to generation to generation. And there's an aspect to which, you know, we talk about rest. You know, the whole concept behind this of home. When you're able to go on a long trip, and you come back home, and you kick off your shoes and you fall back in that perfect recliner and you don't have to worry about what anybody else thinks of you or anybody smells your feet. You just, I'm at rest. I am home. This is what the land was for them, a place where they belonged. Interestingly enough, the inheritance was more than just the money or the land itself. We're going to look at several things. The Levites were given not land for an inheritance, but in Joshua chapter 18, verse 7, it says, "The Levites have no part among you, for the priesthood of the Lord is their inheritance." So God gave them something to pass on from generation to generation, but it wasn't land, and it wasn't wealth. It was a responsibility. It was a privilege to be able to mediate for all of their brothers and sisters a relationship with God in the priesthood. When we come to this aspect of the land, it's very interesting. The connections that are surrounded around the land was the aspect of when you were in the land, This was the land that was governed and watched over by the Lord God. So when David was on the run from Saul, he uses these words. He says, "Cursed be they before the Lord, for they have driven me out this day from abiding in the inheritance of the Lord." Meaning, you've kicked me out of the land. Whoever stirred up King Saul against me, and he's forcing me to have to leave the land of Israel because I'm running for my life and I'm outside of the inheritance that God's given me. And listen, he says, saying, "Go serve other gods." Meaning, when you left the land and you left the heritage of God, you were basically saying, if I'm going to go live in Assyria, I'm going to worship the Assyrian God. If I go to Moab, I'm leaving the protection of my God. Not necessarily that he's limited in that aspect, but that was the association. Your part in the inheritance was your part in the covenant of Almighty God. It's interesting when Ahab came to Naboth and he wanted that vineyard. He told him, he says, "The Lord forbid it that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. This land has been a part of my family going back to Joshua and Moses and the conquest. And I have an inheritance, I have a part, I have a name in Israel. And this connection is basically saying it's my connection with my God. In my property, that's I'm in the land of Israel," and there's an aspect to which I believe you can trace the theological themes of this aspect of the land to an eternal inheritance with God forever. When you have possession of the land, it's picturing the eternal reign of Jesus Christ, and you are a part. You are a citizen of the kingdom yet to come. And that's what there was a hope that was attached to this passing from generation to generation until the Messiah came. And they dwelt in the land of God. He says, I can't give up that inheritance. This expectation, this hope for the future that I have in God, that's more valuable to me than a prophet. And I've got to pass that to my sons. And you can see the connections. My fathers, can I list off their names? Can I tell you who they are? There's that connection. And here's my sons. And I want to tell them how important it was to my great-great-grandfather and his children and to my grandfather and to my dad and how important it is to me. And I make sure that that's important to them so that they pass it on down. It was their connection to their God. So it's something more than just the land itself. Another aspect is children. The Bible tells us, Psalm 127, verse 3, says, "Lo, the children are a heritage," same word, "inheritance of the Lord." God says he's given you something of value that he wants you to be able to pass down, something for the next generation. It's interesting, this language that we're talking about, we've talked about financial things, and yet we are migrating towards the spiritual, because did you know that the people of God were considered his heritage? Exodus chapter 15, verse 17, he says, "Bring them and plant them in the mount of thine inheritance, into the sanctuary of the Lord." Maybe Deuteronomy 4:20 makes it more clear. He says, "But the Lord hath taken you and brought you forth out of the iron furnace, even out of Egypt, to be unto him a people of inheritance." God says, what is of value that I want to retain, that I want to protect, that I want to bless? It's you. God wants to inherit you for all of eternity. We are the internal inheritance of God. 1 Kings 8:53 says something very similar to that. It's very almost identical. I probably don't need to read that. But Psalm 28:9, He says, save thy people and bless thine inheritance. You know, because we are something of eternal value to God, he says, I'm going to take care of them. I'm going to bless them. I'm going to give them what they need. He says, thou, O God, didst send a plentiful rain, whereby thou didst confirm thine inheritance when it was weary. Psalm 68, verse 9. Psalm 94, verse 14. The Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. You say, what is valuable to God? I am. And he wants me. He's called me and chosen me so that I would live eternally in his presence. That's what he's looking forward to. But something else even more wonderful, more beautiful. God is our inheritance. That is beyond what we can comprehend. Numbers 18:20 says, and the Lord spake unto Aaron, and he says, thou shalt have no inheritance in the land, neither shalt thou have any part among them. And you look around and you say, oh, no, that's not your property. Get over here. Hey, get off my property. You walk over here. Hey, that's mine. I don't got no property. I got no inheritance. I got no land. The priests would have some cities and things that they could live, but they didn't have the sprawling the countryside and the flocks and things. They were very limited. They didn't get any land, but he says, I am thy part and thine inheritance among the children. God says, you don't get the land, you get me. And the question comes back to us, if God tells us that and says, you know what? Yeah, you don't get the house. Yeah, you don't get the big savings inheritance. Yeah, you don't get the stocks, but you get me. Is that something we say, yes, I got the good part. I got the Lord. Levi is talked about this way, not only Aaron, but the priests. They would have no inheritance with their brethren. The Lord was their inheritance. Deuteronomy 32:9, for the Lord's portion is his people. And the lot is his inheritance. Oh, that's for us. That was actually, probably should have been another category. I love this verse in Psalm 16:6. He says, the lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. And he says, man, oh man, folks. Yeah, you got a view. Yeah, you got a creek. Yeah, you got a pond. You guys don't got nothing to what I got, David's saying in some sense. The lines have fallen to me in wonderful places. The lot, the inheritance that I've got. And what he's talking about is, I've got a stake in the Lord. I've got a relationship with him. And that's what I want. That's what's of value. Doesn't matter what monetary possessions we would pass on. If we don't pass on the Lord, it's of no value. Doesn't matter what heirloom we hang on to. If we don't pass on to them a good name of the Lord Jesus Christ and a testimony for him. What's so beautiful is the New Testament picks up on this language. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 14. He says, the Holy Spirit, which is the earnest of our inheritance, unto the redemption of the purchased possession. So let me get this. Here's a down payment. Here's the first installment for you. What's my inheritance? Well, I can tell what the inheritance is based on what the down payment is. What's the down payment? The Holy Spirit. The relationship of interaction with the Spirit of God is the guarantee that I'm going to get the full inheritance yet to come. That is that I'm going to be in the presence of God forever and ever. I've got the presence now of the Lord with me, but I'm going to have the full reality of that presence. He's going to talk about this later. He's going to say, Ephesians 1:18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. What is the inheritance of the saints? Saints means what? Yeah, that would be the implication of it. What's the literal meaning of the word? Yes, those who are saved, we are the saints. But what does that word saints mean? We are sanctified. We are holy. We say, well, what does that mean? That primarily does not mean that we live according to God's standards, though that's part of what is required of us. What that means is you have the presence of God. The saints in the Old Testament was Israel. All of them were the saints because they had the presence of God in their midst. But when you got closer to the presence, you had the priesthood. And they really had the presence of God. And they had the access. And that's part of what we're talking about, the inheritance. Ephesians chapter 5. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, nor idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. There's an aspect of Acts. I'm not sure if I have it in the next. Yes, Acts chapter 20. Now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you inheritance among them which are sanctified. The people who are set apart to the presence of God. You are now brought into the midst. And now you have an inheritance. You have a lot, just like they do. You are going to be in the presence of God for all of eternity. It's an everlasting inheritance that you're going to receive. There is nothing more valuable than God Almighty, than a relationship with Him and walking with Him day by day by day. That's what we have to pass on to our children. See, and part of it is there's a reward. Inheritance becomes kind of an understanding of what we can expect from God on the basis of activity. There's a reward for this. Colossians 3:24 says, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Jesus Christ. So, in promise, I just want to point us to that this inheritance is God that we have. And it's an eternal inheritance. Two verses of scripture, and I'll be done. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 15. For this cause he is the mediator of a new testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, which they that are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. He died so that the new covenant could come, so that those who are part of that new covenant could partake of something that they would enjoy and they would inherit forever and ever and ever. The presence of God. 1 Peter 1:4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. We have a great hope as believers. And so if I could kind of summarize these things, part of what God wants us to do, he wants us as Christians, as believers here in America, you and I, we ought to sit down and say, what am I doing to pass on inheritance? What heritage will I leave for my children? And we can look at every aspect and say, what about my finances? Am I just blowing it all on myself? And say, God, am I finding a way? Can I sacrifice? Can I do something? Can I live for the future? Can I live for someone beyond me? But beyond those things, what kind of name am I passing? What kind of character? You know how many times people say, well, I can't help it. My grandmother had this temper, right? And we know that there is these things that are passed down from generation to generation. It doesn't mean that that's... But I mean, I know it. I mean, I can see the backtracking in my own family. Some of the sins I see in my children, they've got my inherited my sin nature. But that means, God, I've got to deal with my sin right now. Will they inherit someone who knows, they say, you know what, I saw my dad, he was on his knees, he was in prayer to the Lord. I saw my mom, oh, she was a witness for others. Oh, I saw my parents, I saw that they were in church, and they loved the Lord. And they've got a heritage and a memory and a character that's been passed down to them. You're showing them the way to live life before them, whether we realize it or not. And say, God, I want the greatest heritage that I can give them is a walk with Jesus Christ. And I want to make sure that I don't leave this world by God's grace until I pass that to the next generation so that they can pass it to the next generation after that. May God help us to live with such wisdom, such foresight, submission to His Word, and fulfill the heritage principle that we have seen. Dear Father, we thank You so much for Your Word that challenges us and yet ever points us upward to You. And so, Father, we just want to spend a moment and praise You, O God, for loving us and choosing us. Boy, You've got the raw end of the deal. But we are blessed to have You. Or may we not forsake You. May we walk with You day by day throughout this week. May Your blessing, Lord, be upon Your heritage and upon Your inheritance. And Lord, may Your name be glorified throughout all ages until You come again. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.